school. So they're never developed.
I want to take you back to the earlier comment about the calling program was the one that I want you to clarify that point. Let me not repeat what I thought I heard.
There were many people taking the lead from the powers that be. People were calling to the calling program daily, attacking teachers.
Okay.
Because they were being fed that everything that was wrong within the system
was the teacher. Okay.
Was the fault of the teacher.
So what is your comment now about where we are in Barbados and what are some of the possible solutions?
Exactly what we have sowed. You never sow tomatoes and reap corn. It can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look first at that 11 plus examination. And we need a better system of identifying the weaknesses and the strengths of our children from primary school.
So a better system. I heard you mention the continuous assessment, which I thought existed right now.
A combination.
I thought I was told. I was told that that exists right now. You're saying that it doesn't exist?
What I'm saying to you, the 11 plus examination, where the children who pass with the top schools and get the top marks every year are paraded in the press and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know if that is continuous assessment.
No,
because
the two aren't the same.
End,
no, the two aren't the same. No, 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 no.
It's the same system that you went
no,
through.
No, no, no. No, no. I'm asking you if the 11 plus exam, separate and apart, if the continuous assessment, if that does not obtain right now, you're saying no.
No, not in its first form. What you have children who grasp the basics early, they're going to the A stream and so on, and automatically you can identify the children that are going to the more prestigious schools very early. That is nothing that we need to discuss right now. What I'm saying is that we need to identify the strengths and the weaknesses of children a lot earlier than what we are doing now from the primary school.
Yeah.
When you have a society, for example, all of this talk about reforming the economic system or the economy, and restructuring this and restructuring that. You can never reform a country or restructure it with any great measure of success without first looking at the education system.
Well, that's one of them for sure. I can agree with you and I can support you there for sure. The education system goes hand in hand with reform, economic reform.
The education system is your production line. You cannot produce a 2018 car on a 1918 platform. You can't. So therefore, what I'm saying briefly is that until we are honest and we accept that the society needs to look at itself totally, not just whether we are running out of foreign exchange or who is going to be the next prime minister, because the two parties are basically the same. It's just a shouting match and a lot of theater. But your education system, any election process that is based on entertainment and imbibing alcohol is only an extension or a precursor to crop over. That is what it really is. You have to get serious. Now,
and it gets followers,
ask,
though, I can tell you that much.
But that's it. We have to ask, where are we going as a nation? We have lost a generation.
So where are the planners then? I hear you, and I support quite a bit of what you're saying. I don't know if the legislators are listening. I don't know if... I'm very serious about this.
When you enter politics simply to be captured in the papers, walking up the steps of parliament, you're not going in there to do anything considerable.
But beyond that, though, we don't know what people enter politics for. And it is very, we have to be
have
very
you
careful.
Seen the
yeah, but we have to be very careful.
Have you not seen the result?
I don't know what result you're speaking of, but I'm telling you, we have to be very careful.
So the results of the legislation, where you feel that they haven't reformed education, where you feel they can't solve the economic problems, it's no mystery where they can't. They don't have any underlying philosophy or ideology.
Right, so that means, right,
politics.
So there could be a scenario where many persons enter politics with grandiose plans. But when they got in, the system was so large, the juggernaut shocked them. And they then became, you know, I'm going to come to Parliament every month or whenever Parliament is called, and I'm going to go with the flow. Some people, and that's the challenge of the civil service as well. There are a lot of persons who come in with really good ideas, but the system of me preparing a letter or some piece of communication, and it has to take 3 days, something that can be done in 3 minutes, but because it has to go to the typist first, I can't type it because I'm not to type, because we have a designated stenographer to do it. I'm telling you that sometimes people come into the system and the system is what shocks them and changes them. Not necessarily that somebody sets out to be vile or to be wicked or to steal money or something like that. So we have to be very careful with our accusations.
Yeah, we have to be careful. This is not an accusation. The question to you then is if the system is...
The system needs changing.
So therefore you can't change it with people who have accepted
who are accepting it. I agree with you.
That's the problem.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
You need to tell me that the civil service that was so excellent. We have, listen, after about the mid-80s, before technology took over, the civil service, the public sector in Barbados, the same civil servants that people are berating on a daily basis, have done more for this country than any private sector in this country.
The civil service still continues to do well. It has its weaknesses, though. But the civil service continues to do well. And I'm not arguing with you either. I'm adding to you.
No, the civil service here, right? The civil service here. I am telling you that to this day, after this day, we probably have the most competent civil service you could find anywhere. Taking into consideration the refusal to take it into the 21st century by the powers that be with technology and so on. There were more concerns.
That point has varying tenets or tributaries. I I'll hear you and I'll let you say what you have to say, but I don't fully support that.
Anyhow, what I'm saying to you is that the civil service has been so politicized over the last 30 years that the problems that you are identifying, everybody knows when the government changes,
same thing happens.
They have to put their party supporters in the position. It's the same thing with statutory boards. It's the same thing with everything. The country is highly polarized. Nobody wants to admit it. If you open your mouth today and criticize the transport board, you are a B. If you open your mouth and praise anything else, you're a D. That's another major problem we have in the country. So therefore,
That's a lack of intelligence. If you don't agree with somebody, then a lack of emotional intelligence, because some people will have different opinions and different views. And if we're not mature enough as a democracy to have different perspectives and see how all of them can come together, then I have a serious challenge with that as a people.
Yeah, well, we have that challenge right now, whether it's serious or not, we have that challenge. But going back to why I called originally, because I want to wrap up now, I am saying to the public of Barbados that I remember 40 years ago, I was told by a colleague that very young girl children from a certain primary school were being enticed by old age pensioners in the area to engage in certain activities. Mm-hmm. That is 40 years ago, 35 years ago.
And I saw a clip only yesterday on something pretty similar.
But this is going back 3 decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is that many of the problems we have, my dear friend, were identified by the beauty. We talked about it. Many of us were dismissed, told that we were stupid. We didn't know what we were talking about. We need to go in school and teach the people's children.
And focus.
And the public took the lead from the powers that be and started to berate the teaching profession. And I honestly don't think the profession has recovered from it yet. So I want to thank you for the time. I know other people want to call in, but I'm saying that nothing that is wrong with our country happened yesterday. Goes right back to the mid-70s. Check it out.
Point taken.
Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution.
All right.
Those were some interesting thoughts from that caller there. Clearly he does have... He had his skin in the game and he said he was intimately involved in the BOT, and the suggestions that were made fell on deaf ears. And today we're here talking about another situation. We are not necessarily only in relation to the violence, but the school system, the curriculum. How are we addressing those students who don't get paraded in the press after the common entrance? How are we addressing the students who are weaker? Can't they do something else? Can't they be involved in other vocations so that they can continue to add value to society in a way that we all participate in this very society that we love as Barbados? This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
You're on the air.
Oh, sorry. It's a bit low. Oh. Good morning to you.
Yes.
Good morning to your colleagues and good morning, listeners. Yes. Just two brief points, ma'am, madam. Mm. On national television, I heard one of the workers at the Barbados Water Authority, concerning the sewage down Bridgetown, that the substance that went in there shouldn't have gone in there in the first place. So I was wondering, well, since it wasn't going there, mm-hmm. what part was to go? And what is even more mind-boggling now is if any more of that substance is out there, and if the persons know that anything in there, what part they're going to take it? You see, this is something that was I just thought about when I hear that. Mm-hmm. Because, madam, that substance that went in there do a lot of damage down there. Because I'm from down that side of the world, and I have smelled the sewage before, and I never seen really shut down so much businesses at mm-hmm. one time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got a very funny smell.
And so it's something foreign now, not what has obtained in the past.
Yeah. Mm. But, you know, and that because after that substance, business again, the sewage, but that substance shouldn't even be the island.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
It is very serious. So I'm wondering if they know where it came from, if they could try to treat it before whoever dumped it, they're going to dump it somewhere. They might dump it in the galley or something. Mm-hmm. Because it's an environmental issue. You know what I mean?
Well, I heard and I think that was on Saturday or Sunday, the Minister of Agriculture mentioning that he has significant confidence in his team of engineers who work at the Barbados Water Authority, and he knows that they will find a solution. It is something that we are really struggling on as a country to grapple with, an issue, one that is presenting itself now in the South Coast, and one that has presented itself 30-odd years prior in the Bridgetown sewage area. And I've spoken to a lady who lived in Emerton. We know the famous song about, you know, sending people from Emerton, etc. But I know a lady who lived there, and she mentioned the number of deaf mutes, the high population of deaf mutes that came out of that community, and the number of sicknesses that existed over the last 30, 40 odd years, and how we are now, you know, the whole country is hearing about the South Coast because it is impacting on tourists, etc. But she said that as a community, they suffered for years, and their complaints and their arguments and their cries fell on deaf ears. So clearly, there has not been a learning scenario on the part of the powers. If the Bridgetown situation was not fixed, and then we went to the South Coast and now having similar problems. But we want to hear what the engineer, I mean, I trust that the engineers know what they're doing. I'm not in any way saying that they're not capable or competent, but we really want the situation to be dealt with and to be addressed in a very quick manner, because we don't want to see the sicknesses that can come as a result of a broken down sewer system. And that's my comment on that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Sorry, you're not finished, sir.
No. What I was saying is that I will hope that they'll be able to, ascertain what is coming in first, you know, and try to if they could treat it in the truck, because everyone, like, they see them dumping it.
Yes.
Here, because we got a lot of indiscriminate dumping around this island.
Yes.
Somebody know that people say, well, we can't care this down the sewage, but we got to find some way to dump this here. I would like everybody to just cooperate, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning. Turn your radio down and let's have a conversation.
Hello?
Are you listening to your phone? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, could you turn your radio down?
I'm not by the radio.
Well, I can hear. I can't hear you well.
Canada. And I'm concerned very much about what is happening in Barbados with this sewage. I work at the sewage treatment plant for 15 years.
In Barbados now, or the one in Canada?
Our plant, what they did...
This is the plant in Canada that you're speaking of?
Yes.
Okay.
What they did with the sludge, they made it into pellets. And then the pellets were used to fertilize the land. And I think this is something that we should do in Barbados, because I'm against digging wells, putting the sludge in the wells, which eventually would contaminate or could contaminate our drinking water. If our aquifer is compromised with contaminants, Barbados is dead in the water. It is better to discharge the effluent into the sea for the meantime until they have the plant under control.
Because I heard that discussion. I heard that discussion before.
So
but
much
the
larger.
The comment on the wells. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I heard what you're saying, and I don't think that any right thinking engineer. Could you hear me?
What would we want?
I'm suggesting that any right thinking practitioner in Barbados would not do something that will compromise the potable water in Barbados. I'm going to put my head there. I'm also going to say that the explanation that was given by the specialist was that these sunken wells, that the material that is going to be in the ground is going to be so significant that it's going to protect it from going out or seeping out. So I hear you on the aquifers, but I mean, I don't have all the technical information. But we have to be very careful
not,
to trust.
I would not even take that chance. What is wrong? Right now, they're discharging the effluent into the sea. Now, if the pipe is extended a mile or 2 miles out into the sea, it dilutes in the ocean, which is a million times larger than our aquifer.
Have you reached out to anyone? Have you reached out to any of our practitioners at the Barbados Water Authority?
You do not know what is going to happen down there. If it gets into our water, we would never, ever be able to clean it up. Never.
Well, I fully agree with you, but I'm going to ask you if you can leave your number on the line, because we would like to have you have a conversation with the persons at the Barbados Water Authority. Having that conversation here really wouldn't help us in terms of, you know, if you bring good value, I'm sure that they would listen to you. Could you leave your number with our producer, and we would ensure that you have a conversation with persons from the Barbados Water Authority. Thank you so much for your call. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.
It's Gil.
Hi, could you kindly turn your radio down?
Yeah, it's down.
Thank you.
You caught me the off guard.
Okay.
I want to join with you in saying that before I make my contribution, I want to say this. I want to join with you in saying that the former Prime Minister Oinafa comments in Parliament yesterday were very sobering. As a matter of fact, the latter part of his contribution yesterday almost brought tears to my eyes.
Somebody told me that as well.
You know, because... And the other thing about him is that I feel like if he still has a real big contribution to make, he's still a young man.
He's making it, you know. He may not be making it in politics, but he's still...
Yeah, but I mean, well, that's true. But anyway, I felt his comments, they were very sobering, and indeed, I feel that it should be replayed sometime... And one of the other things that one of the other politicians say, that Parliament should be given some time during this, at the end of this debate, these estimates debate, to reflect on the works of Oinafa. And I can agree with him more. Each of them should have a contribution to make towards his departure. And I wish him the best as he ride off into the sunset, Mr. Afa, fearings and following seas. That's the term they use in the Navy.
Okay.
Fearings and following seas.
Seas.
Yeah, fearings and following seas. That's like when military vessels, ships and stuff going off.
Okay.
To Fearings, do tours of Vyota War. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They say that Fearings and Following Seas. Although I hear two people from VOB saying it down the Casanova Santa last year, and they said it wrong. But anyway.
Fear Winds and Fear Following Winds. Seas. S-E-A-S, yes.
Fear Winds, Winds. Mm-hmm. W-A-N-D-S.
W-A-N-D, right, Fear Winds.
Yeah, Fear Winds and Following Seas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great quote.
Okay.
But anyway, to my point. I went to Richmond, what is now called St. Leonard's. In my time, it was affectionately known to us as Richmond.
Mm-hmm. Where it's located.
Right. And when I lived there, I wanted to give back to Richmond.
Mm.
And I wanted to do something for people, you know, because I arranged for the surgical nurses at the QEH to go on a tour of two cruise ships in two groups. Because I told the person in charge, the nurse in charge, that they do a lot of work in the surgery mm-hmm. with passengers and crews from ships, and they've never gone to ships. So I offered them the ability to go on two tours, mm-hmm. and they went and they enjoyed it fully.
Nice.
I did the same thing for Bartel, because they pass through a lot of calls, and they don't know cruise ships. So I did the same thing for them. I did the same thing for St. Mary's School. School, primary school in Mason Hall Street. I did it for Richmond. Mm-hmm. Second, third, and fourth formers at Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to do something more for Richmond. And I arranged with Prof. Garner, Philip Garner, the man of the tennis fame. And I'm sure that you would know Horace Cobham.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, I do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeffrey Critchlow, who went to Richmond with us. All of us went to Richmond. But Jeffrey Cobham went on to become the principal of Harrison College, a Richmond boy, as we were called in those days. And I wanted to include another guy.
So you got through with this? Where are you going with this? You got through with
Let me bring it to close here. But anyway, after arranging with the people, I wanted to go to address the assembly the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I went then to the guidance counselor thing they're called at the schools.
Yes.
And I sat with her, and he was discussing it. And you know what she said to me? She said, we don't need that at this school.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need that. And I was hurt by it. Ms. Gill, believe me, was hurt by it.
You would be.
Because that's a school, I always say Richmond is the best school on the planet Earth.
What about your primary school? Are you able then to, if one person doesn't want, you give to somewhere else? Have you been able to interact with your primary school?
Richmond would have been Wesley Hall.
Right, and you've been able to interact with them?
No, but after I spoke to the lady at Richmond, I'm only talking about 12, 15 years.
You were so hurt that you changed your mind?
You mean the lady at the school at
yes,
Richmond?
Yes, after the guidance counselor turned you back. You haven't been able to accommodate students since then?
No, she literally went off of my sails to the point where I became very disillusioned.
I heard you, and I'm trying to get you to... I'm coaching you through reconsidering... You can even go back. She may not be the
no,
guidance counselor there.
I'm not old to the shipping system. I'm not old to the system.
But you can still go and do talks, which is free. It doesn't call on any resources. You can still go and encourage the youth. Because sometimes they just need to hear an adult who has lived the life, who walked the streets that they've walked, or that they are walking, and to give some guidance.
Right. And to let them, we basically wanted them to know that. It really does not matter which school you go to.
Of course.
You can be somebody in this country.
You are someone.
And that's why I heard the guy that spoke to you a little while ago said that we've lost a generation. I hear people with that, and I would like people to explain that to me because they don't quite understand it.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost a generation. Mm-hmm. But Ms. Gill, I just want to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying this all the time. For every one deviant youngster we have,
mm-hmm.
there is about 25 or 30,000 good children.
We're thinking alike.
And I stand by that.
We're thinking alike.
So when I hear people say that we've lost a generation, I would want to explain.
We're thinking alike.
To me because they don't quite understand it. And the last thing I would want to say is this. Recently, they had the people from the waterworks on the program, mm-hmm. the calling program.
Yes.
And I called and I spoke about Legionnaire's disease. And before being able to complete my contribution,
mm-hmm.
I was unceremoniously cut.
Mm.
So the next, I said that I spoke about legionnaires, and the guys from the waterworks say that it is something, it's a respiratory problem, right?
And not, but doesn't have anything to do.
The very next day on Starcom,
mm-hmm.
the very next day on Starcom, I hear Starcom bring a news clip on it.
Okay.
And they said something that I wanted to say that I didn't get a chance to say it. Mm-hmm. That legionnaires' disease can also come from not having enough chlorine in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have stagnant water in pipes, like for example, if a pipe bursts and the water levels go down,
mm-hmm.
before to fix that pipe, let's say that the pipe was burst for a week or more, and the water levels go down, that can create the kind of bacteria to develop legionnaires. I know there are many things they want to say, but I didn't get to speak. Yeah, but no. Hello?
You didn't get to speak at that time. Sorry about that.
Right. But no. I am able to say, and I feel like if I've completed my contribution today.
What I'll tell you, though, to add to, we have a WhatsApper here that says, you mixed up the names of Winslow Critchlow, who became the headmaster of Harrison College, and Horace Cobham, who became the head of the Bankers Association.
No, I ain't going to mix up. Miss Gill,
mm-hmm.
Horace Cobham was in the banking.
Yes.
And Jeffrey Critchlow was the principal of Harrison College.
Okay, but there was probably, this person is saying Winslow Critchlow was the headmaster of Harrison College as well.
Maybe
he has two names.
Maybe we know him at school as Jeffrey
Critchlow. Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So I just want to say that, and that's my bit for the day.
Yeah, appreciate your call. Do have a good day.
You're welcome.
This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning. Listen to your phone and not to your radio. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. The numbers to call, 434-1790, WhatsApp 266-4862. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Lisa.
Hi, good morning, sir.
How are you, sir? How are you, ma'am? Sorry.
Well, thanks.
Now, a couple of issues I want to touch on. Let me just mention that I'm not going to wish you happy Valentine's Day because I'm not that North American persuasion. Today is also Ash Wednesday. You know that?
I think you heard my opening remarks, and if you didn't, I mentioned Ash Wednesday before I mentioned Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much. I didn't hear your opening remarks, so please forgive me.
Okay.
But there was a time when today, instead of talking about Ash Wednesday, all the schools in Barbados will be going to a church of some.
A number of them are still going, though. A lot of children are still going to church today.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yes. Because I think maybe you move away from your culture, your religious culture, sometimes just to follow others. Sometimes you can get yourself into a whole mess. Now, Miss Lisa,
mm-hmm.
The first thing I want to touch on is this thing about the sewage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I worked in Fontebelle for about 10 years.
mm-hmm.
And during that time, every time you had heavy rains,
yes.
The plant there at Lake Folly would, it would smell it. Most of the buildings down there are air-conditioned buildings. So you have to come outside. When you come outside, you smell it. Inside the building, you don't smell it. At least I didn't smell it. All the years I've been down there, the Advocate next door, the Nation next door, the BKA, the IDC, Manning's, Hanselinus, all those buildings were the same place.
Yes.
And we never had any work stoppage. We never... I'm surprised to hear...
In 10 years?
All the 10 years I was down there.
Where exactly in Fontebelle were you?
I was at Jason Jones Regional.
Oh, right over by the very end, closer to
that's
Kensington.
Right next to Hanselinus.
Right.
And we, you come outside and you smell it, the kind of sulfur dioxide thing, sickly thing. And
you turn the other way, but what about the persons who are right adjacent to it, or right, you know, perpendicular, right in front of it? What about those persons?
But Miss Gill, I'm trying to tell you, the Nation and the Advocate were right next door, right opposite, but they never made anything of it. It was accepted that it was acting up, and what concerns me
mm-hmm.
is that there have been work stoppages. We never had that, and it was the same place. So you need me to believe there's some kind of I hope there's not some kind of political mischief being acted out here. Because that's because we have the
election. It can't just be mischief generally. Because what the gentleman said, the prior caller, he said that the smell that he encountered was very different from the smell. And he's been working down there for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So it could very well be a person who just as last time when somebody went and defecated in the space, could it be somebody else doing silliness? That has nothing to do with politics.
Miss Cummins, don't say that. You don't know.
My name is Lisa Gale. You call me Miss Gale and then you call me Miss Cummins.
Miss Gale, oh dear. And then you married all over again.
Now, and I'm happily married, by the way.
But see what I mean? There may be indication that you might get married again. I don't know. But I would hope that you remain happily married as you are.
But you were making a point.
Yes. The other point I want to make, ma'am, is that if the stench is of such a nature, we have a Ministry of Health, and we have could collaborate the Barbados Water Authority, and they could treat the area with a disinfectant. I've been saying this for the last 6 months or so. You can treat the area with a disinfectant. Why aren't they doing that? That would kill the smell.
I'm sure.
why aren't they doing that?
How do you know what they're doing? Did you go down there,
Miss Gale?
Mm-hmm.
If people down there are closing down the buildings, why would you wait for that to happen if you have a disinfectant program?
I heard the head of the waste water management yesterday speak about how they had to monitor first. They did some check-ins secondly, and then I think they would probably go into the third phase, which is probably what you're saying, sanitizing and disinfecting, etc. So allow the process to work.
Okay,
we have to be very careful when we come on the call-in program and we say what should be done, and we haven't even visited to see what's happening.
Miss Gale, I chose to work on that street for 10 years and 10 days. So I speak from position.
But you haven't gone down there in 10 minutes. You didn't go down there 10 hours ago.
But let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else.
Okay.
You see, when oysters have heavy rains in that area, water runs off from the Lodge Hill, Gaw Hill area into the oysters area. You know there's a canal there?
Yes.
But that canal also
smells.
Used to smell.
Mm-hmm.
And when they let the water out, you see, for a couple of days you'll smell it.
Mm.
And they had businesses in the area, nobody complained. Everybody knew what was going on. You see what I mean? I am saying, I am not happy with what is happening. I don't think people should be suffering with the smell like that, because I think we can do better than that.
Of course.
But I think somewhere along the line, somebody is trying.
Let us
make
stop making
a national issue of this whole thing. And I feel if we've had a problem here in Christchurch at one time, where after heavy rains, the suck wells would float over, some of them in the septic tanks. And we didn't call the press, or we didn't call the. We got together, those of us who were involved. Some people used kerosene oil, some people used antiseptic fluid.
Mm-hmm.
We put it on the water, wherever it was, and the smell went. The mosquitoes didn't come around, and we believe that we must have killed some bacteria. But that's all I'm saying. We are trying to make this situation that it's saying. It is not rocket science. The world is going to Mars and Jupiter and those places, highly technical event, and we down here can't have some smelly water. Let's get if your toilet was backing up and it was smelled, won't you put antiseptic to it? It's simple
yes,
as
but
that.
This can't be that simple if a whole KM2 employs close to 1,000 workers. Last I recall, it was 997 or some really far number there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that there has to be something more out of the ordinary to get the reaction that we got. You have anything else to add?
Yeah, of course I have something else to add, Mr. I'd like talking to you.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is this thing about the public servants not getting salary increases for all this length of time. What does a public servant do? And to say that the public servant don't receive increases is not exactly accurate. Public servants can receive
increments.
Salary increases in more ways than one. They can get actual allowances. For instance, if I'm in a position and my boss goes away, I can get actual allowance for as long as he's away. So I get an increase in my salary.
You're one in how many? Of the 30,000.
But let me put it this way. About 35% of the public servants will receive increases in their pay at one time for different reasons. Let me explain to you.
Before you go to that, I have one to read to you. And the person is specifically speaking to you.
Mm.
They say your name is Arthur.
Mm.
So is Arthur really serious? I work in Fontebelle and I pass the sewage plant every day multiple times. The smell emanating from the sewage plant over the last few days is beyond description. It makes the smell on the South Coast smell almost as good as perfume by comparison. Arthur is speaking about some time within the past when he worked in this area. He cannot make a comparison between then and now. Unless he goes and experiences that smell for himself, it is an absolutely horrible, horrible, horrible smell. And I did caution you earlier that you, if you haven't passed down there, let us not pass judgments before we see the severity of the matter. So that's a WhatsApp caller here telling you.
Okay. Probably no, visit. I accept.
So you can continue. You can continue on your point.
Yeah, I accept that. But let me say this. For the last 3 years we've been having, you remember we had the CV on your thing? We had about six feet of CV at Long Beach and those places. And when that CV...
It was more than that, more than 6 weeks.
Then it accumulates after a while, it smells very, very bad. You get headaches, nausea. I've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
But what did they do? Did they move the CV? The daddy see come and move it. So I here suffered, and I'm still suffering
mm-hmm.
from the insects that seaweed produces, because it flies into your house. It's like a fruit fly,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to get rid of it. So mm-hmm. I know what it is to suffer the smell of those sourdough material. And all I'm saying is that we have to treat it. I'm not talking about how strong it smells or how strong it is.
We have chemicals, we can treat it.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, let's move on to your second point.
Yes. The other point I'm saying is, as a public servant, you can get an increase in salary from actual allowance. You can get an increase in salary from promotion. You can get an increase in salary from appointment. If you're appointed to a new post, you get the new salary. If overtime is a big thing in the public service.
But what about those people who have maxed their salary? They can't go any higher up
there
the bracket.
There you want to.
That's no right. increments, yeah, no want. Nothing. And that's that's a large number of persons in that category.
They can still get overtime.
But you can't get overtime if the company closes at 4:30. What overtime you can get when you come to work and everything closes by 4:30?
Which company is that?
Several government offices.
There are certain government departments, Ms. Bing, which work overtime. Customs work overtime.
That's one or two of them. Health,
the police
a few
work
of them.
Overtime.
You can name 10 of them that work overtime, but what about the other 45?
But what I'm trying to say is, I'm not saying this applies to everybody. I'm saying just a certain percentage of public servants still get increases in salary. And travel allowance is one. Overtime is
that's not increased. That's an entitlement when you travel and you go from one point A to point B. That's not a salary increase.
But let me put it just to you this way. You work in public service?
I spent 14 years in government.
But let me tell you something. You ever got travel allowance?
Yes, I did.
A travel allowance was not an addition to your salary.
No, it wasn't. A travel allowance is an allowance as part of my salary. When I have to go somewhere on behalf of my ministry, and I was entitled to a travel allowance, I got it. But that's not extra salary. You're talking about extra money.
Well, let me ask you a question. When you do your income tax, isn't your travel allowance part of it?
No,
that's part of your income. So you can't get away from it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, I'm not saying there are not exceptions to the rule, but I'm saying
You're trying to say that the government workers are fretting about something that they're already getting. Is that what I'm understanding you
that.
To say?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying about 35% of the public servants receive some form of income increase in their salary.
And what about the other 65?
But that's okay. But don't say that the public servants don't receive any increase, because if you look at the estimates.
You mean on a total? I know what you mean, but that's splitting hairs, though. On a serious point.
No, I'm splitting hairs, Miss Thing. If you look at the estimates, you'll see there's a part of the estimates that have a section for increments.
Yeah, they still get increments.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So everybody is not in the same boat.
Category. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's right. That's all I'm saying. So what they should be saying, you have not had a salary revision. It's the revision that they're talking
but
about.
But choice of right. words, though. The whole point is that there has been no increase carte blanche for all government workers.
That's
what the unions are saying.
Not for all, but for a large portion of them, they get increases from overtime, they get increases from actual allowance and so on. But say that. But don't say that nobody gets this increase. That's what I'm saying.
Understood. You're trying to ensure that they speak with more specificity and accuracy.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
Okay? Yes.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you so much for calling. Down to Brass Stacks, the public are asked to note that the Ministry of Industry, Commerce and Small Business Development, its Division of Commerce and the Department of Consumer Affairs at Reef Road, Fontebelle, as well as its offices at Harbour Industrial Estate and those at the Barbados Investment and Development Corporation on Princess Alice Highway, are closed as a result of an environmental issue. The offices are expected to reopen tomorrow, Thursday, February 15th. The ministry regrets any inconvenience this may cause. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning on this Wednesday, 14th of February, 2018. Down to Brass Tacks, are you listening to your phone lines? You're on the air. We'll try another call. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you, Simon?
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right. I just want to make, I try not to get involved in these politics things, but when you sit down and hear things, people talking about dumps and smell, you know Fontebelle, right?
Yes.
And you know, also know Chapman Lane and Kensington Road.
Yes.
But mistress, as a boy, they had a dump on the reef, a dump in Murphy Pasture. Yeah. At one time, we got on both sides was a dump.
Mm.
And people, we are called the middle class, used to live in Fontebelle.
Mm.
And they never had to complain about this smell. And I used to live down there. And Cable and Wireless was down there as well.
Mm-hmm.
People used to play lawn tennis in the, right next to the reef, with all kinds of things that is destroying the reef. Dead dogs, dead cats, rotten potatoes, rotten yams, everything is destroying the reef.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying that the sewage in Christchurch or wherever is right. But people believe that never happened in Barbados before, and you know, people getting dead tomorrow morning, everybody getting dead because they got a problem. Everything is end up in the sea, and the gentleman that made the statement that they should let it go direct in the sea, whenever you die, I don't care what you do with it, it end up back in the sea. Why not let go in the sea right away now? Why not?
I guess maybe that's because people bathe in the sea. That's a popular space for a number of our visitors.
We never had a sewage system, and we lived through it. But I know we tried to protect the sea for the tourists. I know that there very well. So because of that, we sacrificing all kinds of things and putting pressure on the waterworks.
Of course,
that
that's a very simplistic view from me. I only said that, you know, I assume that it's for the tourists, but we don't know. We are not the water engineers.
Let me explain something to you, mistress. They catch more sea eggs. We used to catch more sea eggs years ago than now.
Okay.
And they never heard a boy say they can run short of sea eggs. All of a sudden, because we went into this tourist thing, the reason for not catching sea eggs because they know that the prickles will go into people's foot. And they try to stop people from breaking sea eggs around the tourist season.
Okay.
But although we don't pick sea eggs, now we don't have the sea eggs.
And
the people that ship sea eggs into Barbados from overseas, why them don't run with the sea eggs? They must catch them every day, every year. Why them don't run short? The only boy can run short is Barbados if he picks the eggs. It is another way of trying to do things for the tourists and not for Barbados. They run all the fish from around the fish flu. All the sprats, red ears.
The fish flew away.
The valleys, because they take the moss and bury it, the fish food.
Mm.
You know, they're trying to make the sea pure only for the tourists. I'm not saying we don't need the tourists.
Mm.
But don't lie that if you catch the eggs, that they even be short of the eggs in a few years. That's not true.
Okay.
It's a trend to keep the people away from the sea egg shells.
Okay.
But anyhow, all I'm saying, Mr. Carmichael, you still live in Kensington Road. So I would like you to explain to people that he lived around a dump for years. And Kensington Road is not even a 2 miles away from Broad Street.
Yeah, not.
And people that live in Kensington Road, when they open the back gate, you still push it up on the dump.
Hmm.
You walk right if you come through your back gate. And these supposed to be middle class people. In them days, when you living in Mercy, Kensington in the road, he was like a middle class person.
Okay.
And they lived through that for all the years. Mm-hmm. I used to live next door to the pond in Pickwick Gap. And people used to dump everything in the pond.
Whoa.
Dead dogs, dead cats. I still survived. And my bedroom was next door to the pond, right next to the pond.
Y'all didn't used to have a lot of respiratory issues?
No, not really. I mean, before you can live there, you can get problems. But you, nobody never know where the problems come from.
Hmm.
You don't got no, matter of fact, the things that I hear about, I don't know if these are new diseases, but leprospirosis and all kind of things. You eating the bread and it drop by the ground, you can let it stop down there. You're going to take it up and eat it while you're hungry.
You're going to employ the 5-second rule?
If you drop a sugar cake, it's a blow up your stand and eat it. And yeah, boy, David,
that's not very clean, though. We did have a few deaths. You never know. You didn't do your impregnation.
What I'm trying to
check.
Say is I come up with a crowd of boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how much of them that dead.
Okay.
I mean, a whole from West Bay Road and from the gully back up to West Bay Road corner by Matuda. A crowd of boys. They remember
that's
one
that's
boy
the grace that, of God, I'm being told. Not good living.
one boy that I can remember that dead was Lincoln Tudor,
yeah.
A young Tudor son.
Mm.
He was 16 years old and he had the flu and something happened in the day.
You sure 16. He didn't take that sugar cake off the ground and not know that it was leptospirosis? You did not get the doctor to do any tests, you know. So you're selling out yourself.
No, man. Lincoln was a good boy.
You have to wrap it up, though. We're running to the regional. So you have any more contributions to make?
Well, all I'm saying is that I don't try not to get too dig up in the politics. You open the boy, you know, because sometimes when you're saying things, people take it that you're political and that kind of thing. But I like Barbados.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us love Barbados.
And it hurt me when I hear people trying to sanction Barbados all the time.
Mm.
Why we keep on sanctioning Barbados, talking about this story on the radio all the time, it's going all over the world.
Mm.
It's time you stop, because talking about it is not going to make it any better. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're making a point, interesting point.
You don't have to keep on talking about it all every day about this, the Barbados, this and Barbados, this, the sewage, this and that. We know it bad. We try to fix it. Stop talking about it.
Mm.
We sanction it ourselves.
There's another school of thought that will tell you that we need to talk about the issues. The issues
yeah,
need
but
to
you,
be
you don't
ventilated.
I remember the times when they used to call it.
This is a new
program.
Issue, you know. You know, we're not talking South Coast. We're talking Bridgetown.
No, Mrs. Before you go on, all right?
Yes.
I remember the times on this calling program that people would say, man, you talk about that yesterday. You shouldn't talk about it again. You're talking about it too regular.
Okay.
No, you're talking about things for 6 and 7 months. The same thing over
do
and
you,
over.
Do you watch?
Wait. Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
They wanted to tell the regular callers stop calling the calling program because they're talking foolishness. I know the regular callers is Star Boys.
Listen, do you listen to CNN? Yeah. Do you
but
listen?
They
do you
want them to even get a private number for?
Do you listen callers. To CNN? Do you listen to CNN?
I watch
the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over.
This is CNN.
Thank you for your call. This is Dr. Brass Stacks.